nation of Israel at this time had sunk to such a low point in their history. It was most definitely a very difficult and awful period into which Hosea was called to minister. Hosea has rightly been called the zero-hour prophet because the nation had sunk so low into such moral and spiritual decline. Hosea had a message from God to deliver to this people. And it was a message, as you read through this little book, that was hard to deliver, but he must deliver it. And as he did so with compassion, and he did so with tenderness. Because while he has been called the zero-hour prophet, yet he has also been called the prophet of the broken heart. And as you read through this little book, you see something of the broken heart of this man of God over the spiritual state of his land. He lamented over the waywardness. He lamented over the wanderings of the people. It broke his heart. It's a book filled with such emotion. And of course, this emotion was right from his heart. He experienced it in his own life. He experienced it as well in his own family. Something of the waywardness of heart that he was called to preach against and called to warn the people about. You see, he was speaking to his own people. He was a prophet from amongst the people, and he had a love for them. And yet that love did not keep him from delivering a very hard and a difficult message at times to deliver. And every time Hosea spoke, there was a sob in his throat. As you read through the verses of this chapter in particular, we cannot feel, as we will go and look at in the course of this message this morning, to see the depths of sin and depravity that this nation had sunk to. They had reached a very low point at this particular time. Yet as we come into the words of verse number 12, the words of our text for this morning, there is a further demonstration of the goodness and the mercy and the tenderness of our God. Because in spite of the faults and in spite of the failures of the people, and they were many, yet God was dealing with these people in mercy. Thank God, in spite of all that was happening in the land and nation at that time, and despite the waywardness and despite the sinfulness, there was still a way back. The pathway to future blessing was going to be the pathway of present brokenness. You see, for these people to reap a spiritual harvest, for these people to experience once again the spiritual blessings of God in their land and nation, there had first of all to be a spiritual work done in their heart. For those times of blessing and refreshing to come again, there had to be business done with the Lord. We today rejoice in the physical harvest that has been brought in. Seed time and harvest, once again, has not failed, and we thank God for it. But we must acknowledge today, and we must be honest today, that there is little by way of a spiritual harvest. And why? Well, as we come into this message, we need to see that there needs to be honesty. And there needs to be sincerity. Hosea was calling the people here to be honest. And there had to be this work done in the hearts of the people. In order for them to experience the blessings of God once again, there had to be this harvesting of the heart. And as we think of that day, that generation in which Hosea ministered, there are many, many similarities with our own land and our nation today. I don't need to tell you just how far and how low our nation has gone. I don't need to tell you the moral turmoil that there is in our land and our province at this time. And in such a time and in such an age, there too needs to be honesty And there too needs to be a work done in all of our hearts and lives. And can I say to you today, what the Lord has given to me for this particular meeting, the Lord most definitely has challenged my own heart and my own life about as well. There is to be this harvesting of the heart. Some things I want us to notice here as we look at verse number 12 particularly. I want you to see first of all with me here the activity that is to be performed. The activity that is to be performed. Right there in the middle of that little verse 12, it says, break up your fallow ground. Break up your fallow ground. Here Hosea is using terminology that the people would have been familiar with. Many were farmers. Their industry was based around agriculture. And so he uses this analogy from the farming industry to depict and to declare exactly what needs to be done. There was an activity to be performed here, and it was that they were to break up their fallow ground. You see, to the farming community, the fallow ground was of little use because it had been allowed to become bare and it had not been worked. It didn't produce a harvest in the way it once did. And as a result, the land lay waste. All sorts of weeds and thistles had grown up. The land had become useless. And it hadn't been used. And as a result, it became dry and barren. A part of that ground that is depicted as being fallow is a plot of ground that has been unplowed, it's been uncultivated, it hasn't been tended to, it hasn't been looked after. It hasn't been harrowed or seeded or cultivated in any way for some time. It's just been left the way it was. No care, no attention given to it. Yes, at a time it was fruitful. At a time it was well ploughed. At a time it was well looked after. It was tended to with the utmost care and attention. But now, as a result of a lack of attention, it has now become fallow. It has become barren, it has become dry. And of course, Hosea was not speaking literally about the state of the soil in the ground. Rather, he was speaking about the state of the heart in the people. Their heart had become dry. Their heart had become hard. And as a result, they had become barren. Their hearts were fallow ground. As we think of this activity, I want us to see a little more about it and see why this ground did lie fallow. Notice the explanation here for this dryness and this barrenness. Why? Why had the hearts of the people become barren? Why were they described here as being fallow, being hard, being dried up? Well, if you turn back to the verse number 9, the opening verse that we read together, it says, O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. Thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. Now the events that took place there were of such magnitude and such wickedness that although they took place some time before Hosea was alive, yet they were still talked about and they were still remembered at this particular time. Such was the debauchery and such was the wickedness of the sin that was committed. That sin of wickedness, that sin of evil is accounted for us over in the book of Judges and the chapter 19. And we won't take time to turn there this morning, but you do well to look at that chapter sometime this week. Judges chapter 19, and from verse 16 through to verse number 30, we read there of things that were happening in the land at that time, things that I would not mention in a public service of worship such as this, such gross immorality, and terrible wickedness, and sinfulness. Sin had been committed. But the problem was, the lessons of that wickedness had not been learned. Because it was still being committed now, many years later. Because Hosea is able to say here, O Israel, thou hast sinned. In other words, you're still living in sin. You're still committing that which had been taking place all those years previous. The lesson had not been learned. And as a result of sin, the hearts of the people have become dry and hard. You see, folks, today, sin in whatever form it takes, sin when it goes unchecked, sin when it goes unrepented of, it will always lead us to being dry and fallow and barren. Sin in the life of the child of God always has the effect of leaving us dry and barren and useless in the service of God. You see, when we fail to tend to our hearts in the way that we should do, we quickly become dry, we quickly become barren, we quickly become hard of heart. When we neglect to tend to our hearts the way we used to, and something takes more preeminence, and something becomes more important to us than God, the house of God, the people of God, and fellowship with the Lord, when those things, other things become more important than God, then very quickly our hearts become dry and barren and we become useless. If there's someone today and you have neglected to tend to your heart the way you used to, oh, you were involved in the work of God in days gone by, you were bright, you were faithful, you never would have missed the services in this house. Every time the doors of the church were opened, you were here in your place. You could be depended upon, but something or someone has come into your life and cried out God in your heart. And as a result, your heart has become dry and barren and fallow. You see, folks, today we don't have to go into the depths of gross immorality for us to sin before Almighty God. Anything that keeps us from God, anything that causes us to wander from God, whatever it is, and it might be legitimate, even proper in its own right, but if it is causing us to wander from God, then it is a sin. And it needs to be dealt with. The explanation. But there is also in this activity here to be examination. Because as you read through this verse and read through the verses that we have read, that there is a clear call to examine our hearts, to search our hearts. The psalmist said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." You see, today there needs to be heart searching. There needs to be a looking inwards to ourselves. It's very easy to point the finger of blame at everybody else and see what they're doing and examine everybody else's heart and examine everybody else's life. But here we're called to examine our own heart and our own life. How do we stand before God? How are we before the Lord right now? I'm not asking about 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Right now, how is it with you and God? What is that relationship like between you and your God today, dear believer? There needs to be this heart searching. In verse number 11, Hosea reminds the people that they were taught in the right ways. He uses the illustration of the heifer who was taught in the right way. And Ephraim, referring to the nation of Israel, is an heifer that is taught and loveth to tread out the corn. You see, she was instructed in the ways of God. She was guided in the right path. She loved to do that which she knew to be right in the eyes of Almighty God. The ways of God were a delight. The house of God was a delight. Now she had wandered from those old pathways, left off following the Lord. Notice what it says as a result in verse 11, the end of it. It says, I have passed over upon her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride. Judah shall plow and Jacob shall break. Gain all references to the parts of the nation. You see, sin was bringing hardship, trouble into their lives. Don't expect, dear believer, to walk from God. Don't expect to turn your back on God and the things that you know to be right, and still expect the blessing of God in your life. Don't think you can turn away from God and still have the smile of God and the sunshine of God upon you. Things not right in your heart and life, and still expect God to bless you. Still expect God to use you. How is it today with you? How is your walk with God today? There needs to be this examination. There also needs to be cultivation in this activity. Because it says, break up your fallow ground. That ground which you've allowed to become hard and barren, now you need to do something about it. You need to cultivate it. And it involved the removing of the weeds, involved the watering, the caring of the ground. It involved the sowing of the good seed. You see, if the farmer was going to make use again of that fallow ground, if that ground was going to bear fruit again in the way it once did, then it had to be tended to. Work had to be done. The hardness had to be overcome. Child of God, today we need to cultivate our hearts. We need to break up the fallow ground of our hearts. We need to remove those weeds of sin in our lives, sins of carelessness, sins of coldness, sin of bitterness, sin of barrenness, whatever it is. Whatever it is that has caused us to wander from God, it needs to be removed, it needs to be dealt with, it needs to be taken out. The fallow ground of our heart needs to be cultivated. The fallow ground of our hearts needs to be watered with those tears of repentance over waywardness because of sin. You read Psalm 51, and you'll read there of a man who was broken over his sin. A man who had fallen into deep sin, but also a man who watered his heart with tears of repentance and contrition and brokenness over sin. There needs to be this cultivating of our hearts. There needs to be this tearing up and breaking up of the fallow ground. Business needs to be done in all of our hearts today. There is the activity to be performed. But notice as well now the appeal that is to be obeyed, because it says, for it is time to seek the Lord. Break up your fallow ground. That's the activity. Here's the appeal. It's time to seek the Lord. Here's the appeal from the prophet. Seek the Lord. Get back to the Lord. Get back to that place where you were with the Lord. That place where you allowed sin to overtake you and destroy you. Get back there. Repent of sin. Get back to the Lord. What did these people need to do? What do we need to do individually? What does our nation need to do collectively? We need to get back to the Lord. For too long, these people have been turning away from the Lord, turning to themselves, turning to others. And as a result of it all, they have become, as we read there in verse number 1 of chapter 10, an empty vine. They were barren, they were fruitless. Once they were fruitful, but now they're fruitless. Become empty. They turned away from God, and now the prophet says, turn back to Him. Turn back to Him. They'd increased altars in verse number 1. Idolatry had crept in. They were placing other things in the place of God. They were allowing other things to come between them and their God. And now the prophet says, you need to get back to the Lord. These people had forgotten that their purpose was to glorify God, and all it seemed that they were interested in was glorifying themselves, looking after themselves. And notice the result of all of that. Because in verse number 2 we read of Hosea chapter 10, it says their heart is divided. Their heart is divided. And a heart with divided loyalties between God and sin is a faulty heart. It's an unstable heart. It's a heart that is not right with God. You remember the great command to God's people that we've recorded for us in the words of Moses, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And yet there is this terrible indictment upon the people. Their heart is divided. Give God just a little, but these things are more important. Give God that which is left of my time. After I've done all these other things, I'll give what I've left to God. No, that's not the way it works. We're to give God all that we are. We're to love God with all of our heart. We're to love God with all of our soul, with all of our might. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things shall be added unto you. The problem is, so often we do that the other way round, don't we? We seek everything else first, and then what's left we give to God. And as a result, their heart was divided. They had forsaken God. They turned their back on God, and now there was the appeal from the prophet, get back to Him. Return to the Lord. And that appeal is repeated again in this book. Over towards the end of the book, chapter 14, it says, O Israel, return. Return unto the Lord thy God. Why? For thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn. As we look across our province today, and as we look across our nation today, people can come up with all sorts of plans and all sorts of remedies as to how to make this land great again. How can we put the great back into Great Britain? How can we get this province of ours going again and working again? And all sorts of plans and all sorts of programs are put into place. Listen, The only thing that's going to make our nation and our province great again is when our nation and our province turns back to God. That's the only solution. We have turned from God. We have forsaken God. And it seems that everything is against the Word of God and the standards of God. We have our legal system today working against the Church of Jesus Christ. We need to get back to God. And I believe it needs to begin in the hearts of the people of God and the house of God. It needs to begin in this heart of mine. We need to turn to the Lord in brokenness, in humility, with honesty, realizing that we have left off, realizing that we have turned away. Is there someone today, and your heart is divided? Someone today in this congregation, in this meeting, and I know not your heart. But things have come in, taken over. And as a result, they've caused you to wander from God. And today you are not where you were with God even last year. What do we do? Turn. Get back to God. There is the activity to be performed and the appeal to be obeyed. It is time. You see, he wasn't talking about a future date. He was talking about now. He's saying, you've wandered far too long. You've gone on in your sin far too long. You've allowed things to become unchecked and things to become untended in your life far too long. Now, time, right now, get back to God. Don't leave it to try to work things out by yourself. Don't leave it to a time when you think it'll be right and these other situations will have sorted themselves out and then you'll get back to God. No, now get back to God. It's time now. Whatever work needs to be done in your heart and life, it's time to do it now. Can I say to any who are here today without Christ and not saved, there work needs to be a work done in your heart and life as well. And that time to do that is now. Sinner today in this meeting, now is the time to seek the Lord. Now's the best time. Now's the only time. Now's the right time because this is the only time you have. And if God has been speaking to you and challenging you about your condition, turn to the Lord now. Dear believer, today, if there are things that need to be put right in your life, put them right now. Do business with God now. We close this morning with the anticipation to be displayed. Because at the end of verse 12, he says, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Till he come and rain righteousness upon you. In the opening verse, part of verse 12, there's a call to sow to yourselves in righteousness, to reap in mercy. It's a cause and effect. Sow to righteousness, sow to holiness, pure living, holy living to God, and you'll experience the mercy of God. It's a call again for a right fellowship and a right walk with God. You see, the rebuke was in verse 13 that they hadn't done that. In verse 13 it says, ye have ploughed wickedness and ye have reaped iniquity. These were people living in sin. And they were reaping the harvest of that. But now the Lord says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, sow to yourselves in holiness, to pure living before God, and you will reap the mercy of God. The law of the harvest still stands true, physically and spiritually. You reap what you sow. The call was to get back to the Lord. And in getting back to God, putting things right in their life, then there was the anticipation and the expectation that the Lord would come and rain righteousness upon them. In other words, when we live a life that is pleasing to God, when we live a life that is right before God and we walk right before God, when we break up our fallow ground, when we sow to ourselves in righteousness, then the Lord will come and shower His blessing upon us. Are we not experiencing the rain of God's judgment upon us today? Don't expect the Lord to bless us when we turn from Him. Don't expect the Lord to bless our land and our nation when our land and nation, by and large, has turned from God. Things that need to be put right. But let's bring it home. Let's bring it into our own hearts and lives. Things that need to be put right in our own lives. The Lord says, when you do that, I will come and rain righteousness upon you. Shower His blessing upon you. There was going to be blessing. God was going to come again. Praise God, He hadn't forsaken His people. But He said there has to be a work done in your heart till He come and rain righteousness upon you. The pathway of blessing was going to be a pathway of brokenness. That's the anticipation, that's the expectation based on the promise of God. And thank God in that as well we see the mercy and the goodness of God. Although we have turned, although we've went our own way, although for a time we've wandered from the Lord, yet the Lord says, I will come and rain righteousness upon you. On over in Hosea chapter 14 that we've already made mention of, he says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. Mine anger is turned away. Thank God today, in spite of our sin and despite of our faults and our failures, there's still mercy with God. When we turn, when we confess that sin, when we deal with the hardness and the barrenness of our hearts and life, He says, I will hear and I will heal. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, will heal their land. There is the activity, break up the fallow ground. There is the appeal, do it now, it's time to seek the Lord now, turn to the Lord. And there is the anticipation, the blessing of God that He wants to shower upon us. Till He come and rain righteousness upon you. God is desiring to bless us. God wants to bless us. But there needs to be that work done in our hearts and lives. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. there needs to be this harvesting of the heart. That which needs to be done in our hearts and lives by the grace of God. May He give us that grace and that help so to do it. Whatever it is that's coming between us and the Lord, we need to be done with it. We need to get rid of it. We need to get back to the Lord. Get back to His Word. And for any who are here without Christ, not saved, do not have the joy of God's salvation, what do you need to do? You today need to do the same. You need to turn to the Lord. Repentance of sin. And seek His face. And you will experience His mercy also. May God bless His word to our hearts today.